Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The women's basketball program at the University of Connecticut has established itself over the last 20 years as one of the most dominant, if not the most dominant, college sports team of all time. And now, a piece of the UConn dynasty is taking the helm right here at Boston University. UConn assistant coach Marissa Mosley is the new head coach for Boston University's women's basketball team, and it's kind of a homecoming for her as well. She's a BU alumna and a former BU basketball standout as well. She helped the Terriers to the America East Championship back in 2003, and from there it was on to work as an assistant coach at the University of Minnesota and the University of Denver, and then 9 years at UConn, where she assisted the Huskies to a It almost defies belief, but I got to say it, a 331-14 record. And Marissa Mosley joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And welcome back to Boston University, I have to say. So first of all, how does it feel taking the helm as a head coach here at BU?
A little surreal. Being here as a student athlete and going through the recruiting process and going to class every day is one thing, but then now kind of trying to convince other young women to do the same. I feel honored that I've gotten the opportunity to do that, especially at my alma mater, because I feel like I know it so well. And at the same time, there's so much that's changed in just the few years I've been away. I'm excited to kind of get to know all that BU offers even now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your history as a player here at BU. And then definitely going to want to talk to you about the coaching skills that you're going to bring to the court here. So I mentioned that 2003 year, the America East Championship. You were team captain that year, leading BU in steals, blocks. And then you had to play UConn in the first round of the tournament. What was that like?
Yeah, so we actually just, at Tees Pub, we had our viewing party. So it was like, oh my God, we're in the tournament. And then it's like, oh, we're 16 seed and we're playing UConn. Like, woo, I think. So we went up to Gamble Pavilion, and I had worked camp there, and that's how I kind of got in with UConn in the working capacity after college. But so I had been there before and played pickup and everything, but definitely it's a different experience, especially when you get rocked by like 40 points. And I always tell people when I was coaching there, they're like, oh, you don't get it. I was like, oh, no, I get it very well. I understand, and I like being on the side better.
Okay, I'm going to get back to sort of your experience as a player here for a second. But since you went straight to it, I mean, UConn, insanely dominant, right?
Yes.
I mean, not only is their win-loss record almost impossible to believe, true that it is, but like game by game, like they do frequently crush competition. So this gets us straight to like the endless UConn controversy, which is, are the UConn women too dominant for women's basketball?
Yeah, I despise that question. Not from you, just like the overall global question. Because I think it seems that question only comes up with UConn. Like, no one asks, is Tiger too dominant for golf, or are the Patriots too dominant for the NFL? Like, so for whatever reason, because I don't know if it's because it's the women's game or because it's just been going on for so long. If anything, I think it's helped grow the game, and it's raised a level of awareness and attention to women's sports, and it's helped try to raise the competition level.
Okay. So, I appreciate that you didn't say that you resented it coming from me. But I'll give you someone that you can be angry at. I want to play a little bit of tape from Boston curmudgeon Dan Shaughnessy. He has a very strong opinion about this. This is Shaughnessy in 2016, basically talking about UConn's championship run then.
Okay. When you have every game, it's 50-19 in the second quarter, a sport that's trying to generate new fans. How is that good for the sport? Who's going to hang in there for four quarters when you're up 40 every game? This is not like UCLA or the Celtics or the Warriors. Every game is 40 points. What's the point?
What do you think?
Yeah, what's his point? No, just kidding.
You can say that.
No, I think it's not what's the point, because quite frankly, our attendance is actually, or UConn's now, I'm at BU. So UConn's attendance was up this year the best that we've had in 10 years. So to say that people don't care, they're not tuned in, SNY was paying $1 million a year to televise our games, and our games were the highest rated, why we always played at 9 p.m. on ESPN on a weeknight, because we were the highest rated. So to say that people were tuning out or that it just, they didn't care, we heard tremendous amount of support from our fans and just other kind of casual watchers. Like, we just love the way that you guys play and the way that you respect the game and how hard your kids compete. And that's why I get frustrated by it, because I think you don't realize the amount of work and the dedication and the blood, sweat, and tears that those young women are putting into it every single day.
Because they make it look really easy.
They make it look easy, but it's not easy. What they're doing is not easy at all. And so for someone to kind of say, well, what's the point? It's like they earned that, the right to be able to do that.
You know, you said something a little earlier. You just kind of slipped it in there, but I want to underscore it. I don't think anyone asks this question in the men's side of any sport.
Right.
And you know, dominant teams in men's sports are celebrated for their dominance.
Right.
So, I mean, do you think it has something to do that it's just it,
I think
it's
so, because even his example that he just gave, like, we're not talking about the Warriors or UCLA, you know, or I can't remember even the third
Celtics.
Team, or the Celtics. Yeah. So, because we're not them, because those are all men-dominated sports. Like, people don't care that they blow people out when they were dominant. It was like, that was just amazing and a beautiful thing to see. But now, because women's teams are doing it, no one wants to watch that, which I just categorically disagree with. And I think he should probably talk about something else.
So, let me ask you then, you were there for 9 years. Mm-hmm. What are some of the coaching lessons or strategies that you learned, you know, as assistant coach at UConn, and especially, I mean, you were working with Gino Auriemma for all that time, that you think you're going to bring to Boston University?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is, no matter what your level is or the level of dominance of the program, the biggest thing I walked away with was our culture was so strong there. Our kids understood, like, who we were playing for, why we were playing, and the way that we were going to do it. And so every day, that's how we approached.
How was that communicated?
It was established right from the beginning. So there's people that came way before you who really kind of laid the groundwork. And we don't have a lot of banners in the sense of, like, individual accolades. So in our practice facility, there's national championship banners, which there are 11. There's 22 All-Americans. And then there's Olympic gold medalists only. Not even if you just participated, you had to win a gold medal. we have high standards. But and so that's one of the things that you're looking around every day and you're like, okay, all of these unbelievably great players came before me, and other players who don't necessarily end up on that wall who gave their blood, sweat, and tears to this program. So we're going to make sure that there's a UConn way that we do it, and you're going to do that every day that you walk on this court.
Wow. Okay. And so I mean, do you think that exists here at BU, or is that something for the women's team that you're looking to build?
I think, you know, there's definitely a pride in the university. Any student athlete who comes here, I think you come in wanting to make sure that you represent your university in the best way possible. I hope to just highlight that and enrich it even more and make sure that we have a huge legacy that we leave behind, because as an alum, I have a huge sense of pride about that I went here, that I played for this great university. And I want to make sure that going forward, it's not just that, hey, I played here, but that we won and we kind of left something behind.
Yeah. So I read somewhere that you prefer man-on-man defense and not zone defense necessarily.
Well, it's funny. So my 4 years here, we played all zone, but it was a matchup zone. So I do like man-to-man. I think that I just like to get up and defend and deny and get in the passing lanes and block shots and, you know, kind of convert your defense into offense. So that's fun for me. But I think there's a time and place for zone as well.
Yeah. So take a step back with me for a second. And I'm wondering what your take is on women's basketball sort of as a whole, because obviously, I mean, UConn is a defining and a powerful force in terms of bringing fans to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do you see that same trend in at the professional level with the WNBA, or do they need sort of like a dominant UConn-like team to bring more people to the games?
I think in some ways between the LA Sparks and the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah.
I was just going to call them Timberwolves, which is not what they are. And the Lynx, I think they have a little bit of that dominance. And those two teams generally, towards the end of the season, they're kind of battling the last few years.
Rivalry is always good.
And I think Minnesota, by far, when I was there as a college coach, and even now just watching, they get a tremendous fan support. I think some of the cities that they chose to have teams in, although they're big markets for television and media, there's a lot going on in those cities. And so sometimes in the summer, to get people to draw the fans to come in and go inside when it's a beautiful day, that's probably some of what they contend with when it comes to fans and viewership. But I think it's continuing to grow. Anytime that you have a Final Four like we had the last couple of years, despite the fact that we came out on the wrong side of it, anyone else you asked, they thought it was amazing. We were, you know, it's still in the crowd. But I digress. But I think having that type of environment where people are just excited about the game, I think it's going to help it continue to grow. So I don't know if you necessarily need that one dominant team, but the rivalries definitely helps.
Okay. And then sort of, I'm kind of jumping back and forth between professional and college here. But, you know, on the college side of things, NCAA side of things, there's been a persistent question. And I think it gets bigger and bigger with every year as the money associated with NCAA athletics gets bigger. I mean, just do you have a take on whether college athletes ought to get paid?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. We kind of keep this conversation going quite a bit in our office in UConn. And Coach Arima had a great take on this, and I kind of am adopting it on my own. So his was, that's fine, but if you're an employee, then you can also get fired. So if you don't come and perform and show up on time and do the job in which we ask you to do, then you can lose your scholarship. So if you want to be paid and you want to be treated like an employee, then this is also what happens to employees. And I don't think that that's necessarily thought out on the student athlete side. It's more like, well, we're generating all this money, which I agree with, they are, and they should be some type of compensation. But then what happens if you don't perform?
That's a good question. Okay, well, I guess it's not one that we can necessarily answer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you? We've got just got 30 seconds left here. What would you say is your primary goal for your first season as head coach at BU?
Yeah, I just wanted us to establish a great culture in which we're going to work harder than everyone else. We're going to compete at everything that we do on and off the court. We're going to have a great time while we're doing it and try to win as many games as we possibly can with that in mind.
Sounds like a good set of goals here. Well, that's Marissa Mosley. She is the new head coach for women's basketball at Boston University. So she spent 9 years as assistant coach at UConn, and it's great to have you back here in Boston.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.